And welcome back to The Undefeated. I'm your host, Anthony Silvani. And I'm here with Caleb and Braden, Dylan and John will be joining us later on. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Doing great.
So, to start things off, we're going to talk about some NBA action over the past weekend. On Friday, the Nuggets blew out the Dallas Mavericks 106-75. Will Barton led the way with 17 points. Are you guys disappointed with how the Mavericks played?
I am. I've been disappointed with the Mavs all season. Just no connection on the offensive end. You know, putting up 70 points to the Nuggets is not very good. And Porzingis, you know, just with him not being healthy, that just really hurts the team. And just the Mavericks have not looked good to start the season. Their wins have come against teams that are not very good. Then they're going to be below 500. And they're getting blown out by good teams.
I think the Mavericks are just a pretty poor team in general. When it comes to how the team was built, I think on paper it's decently done, but Luka isn't enough to win that many games.
So who do you think they need to go out and get to help them out?
Anyone else that's not just like a Reggie Bullock? Like anyone?
Yeah, I mean, they go out and get Reggie Bullock and Moses Brown, two players that, and Sterling Brown, too, three players that are not valuable assets to the team. I think they need to go out and get a center that can really handle the better forwards and centers in the league because they don't really have anybody that can do that. Dwight Powell, he's just an average player, but you want him coming off the bench. You don't want to put him in a starting spot. So I think a center, even getting rid of Porzingis, because a lot of the Mavs fans don't like Porzingis and don't like his production. So I think getting rid of him and getting a true good center would be most beneficial.
Welcome back, Dylan. How are you doing today, Dylan?
Doing all right.
As we stay in the West in the NBA, the Trailblazers also on Friday night beat the Los Angeles Clippers 111-92 despite Paul George scoring 42 points. The only other Clipper that had over 10 points was Luke Kennard. Damian Lillard had 25 points. You guys been disappointed with the way the Clippers have started the season, even though they're without Kawhi?
Yeah, I'm disappointed with both teams. But the Clippers, we talk about them. They've won one game.
They beat the Thunder last night.
I think so. But besides the fact, they have just Paul George. That's their only player right now. You expect Reggie Jackson to kind of step up as he did in the playoffs. But without Kawhi Leonard, you've kind of seen what the Clippers have done, and it's just not productive, not a good team.
Caleb?
It's just shocking how Luke Kennard can still be a second, like, in any game, scoring the second most points is crazy to me. You will never win a game when one of your players scores 42 and no one else on your team scores more than probably, what, like 15? It's just, like, they need to find more consistent offensive production, and I don't think they have that on their team.
You have anything to add, Dylan?
On what, the Clippers?
Yeah.
They just need to stop relying on their superstars to produce. They need to find other people that aren't as big name, big contract to go out there and put up more than 2 points a game. You know what I mean? Like, and then at that point, then they could be serious contenders and maybe win a playoff series.
Yeah, I can agree. To move on over to the East, the Atlanta Hawks beat the 76ers 122-94 on Saturday, even though their leading scorer was Cam Reddish off the bench. Trae Young had 13-point double-double. Any thoughts on this game, guys?
I just want to say that Reddish has looked pretty good this year. He's had a little disappointing season at Duke and then the last year. But he's really stepped it up. I mean, it's only been the first 5-6 games, but he's looked pretty good for the Hawks. And, I just think the Hawks looked pretty good early.
Okay. As we move on to what could have been a good game, what was a good game? The Utah Jazz beat the Milwaukee Bucks 107-95 behind Donovan Mitchell's 28-point performance. As the Jazz, they're now 5-1. The Bucks, I think they're 3-4, if I'm not mistaken. Guess what's going on with the Bucks? Why have they been disappointed throughout the season?
It's just injuries. They haven't had a healthy lineup, and I don't think they've had one game where all their stars have been healthy for. So I think, you know, just Jrue Holiday, Middleton, and Giannis, they just haven't been healthy. When Giannis and Middleton have played, both of them just can't have a good game at the same time, it feels like. And the 3-4 to start the year is not good for the Bucks.
I mean, it's only 7 games into the season, so even if you just disregarded all the injuries and just said that they've had a rough start, I mean, they still have another 70-something games to figure all that out before the playoffs and everything. So, I mean, there's no reason to count them out. There's no reason to say they've had like a down year, but maybe in the future, if it keeps up like this, then you can start bringing that into the conversation.
And they'll be fine, but moving on to the Jazz, like, they're just so good. They are just so good, but they need to be more consistent towards playoff time because they're going to be a top 2 seed. And when it comes to the playoffs, they just need to have Donovan Mitchell step up and have games that guys like LeBron and Giannis have, even though he's obviously like 6'1".
Yeah, I don't personally understand how the Jazz are so good. Like, when you look at their team, they just look like a mediocre middle-of-the-pack lineup. But I think it's just their coaching and their game plan for spacing the floor, and everything that they do defensively and offensively is just far more above other teams. Their roster's on paper is not by any means of 1 or 2 seed, but they always just play 1 or 2 seed basketball every game.
Yeah, like they're playing guys like Bogdanovic, who can score like 20, but it's weird how he scores 20, but he does it. And then they got guys like, I mean, Rudy Gay and Hassan Whiteside to bring around their bench, and that's just like, they need, on paper it doesn't look very good, but they just rely so much on their like system with Quinn Snyder, and it somehow gets it done.
Okay.
As we move on to the last NBA headline. Last night, the Chicago Bulls beat the Boston Celtics 128-114 after coming down from 19 as DeMar DeRozan had 37 points last night. The Bulls are now 6-1 for the first time since 2012. Are you guys impressed? It's not just impressed, but surprised how the Bulls are playing?
Yeah, I mean, DeBall Zach has been a really good trio this year. I think the Bulls, if they keep it up, can be a great contender, maybe even go really deep into the playoffs. But obviously it's only been a week ish, so we can't really predict all of that yet. But I'm looking forward to see how they play. And the Celtics have been, you know, kind of disappointing, just like the Lakers this year. I really think this is starting to represent 90s basketball again. Just of how everyone's playing and like the teams that are doing good versus the teams that are doing bad. But I'm curious to see how the rest of the year plays out for the Bulls.
I mean, yeah, I think the Bulls have looked good, but you look at their schedule, they're 1-1 against teams that are over 500. So they've only played 2 teams that are really any good. And one of them they lost to the Knicks. The other one they did beat the Jazz at home. But you look at the rest of their schedule, they played the Pistons twice. The Pistons. And then the Celtics, who they beat last night, have just looked very disappointing to start the year. They just can't settle down and convert when they need to. They're just always turning the ball over. So, yeah, I mean, the Bulls have looked good, but you look at their schedule, they haven't really played anybody. So I'm not too high on the Bulls yet.
Super disappointed in the Celtics, too. It seems like Jaylen Brown's bringing it every night, but sometimes if Tatum's off, it feels like they're never in games. And even if it's like a Dennis Schroeder night or even like a Marcus Smart night, it's never enough. And when it comes to close games, they can win a couple, but I could see this team actually missing the playoffs this year.
I feel like over the last couple of seasons, this is how the Celtics start. They start slow and then they end up being a top seed in the East. Do you guys think, what do you think the Celtics really need to do to turn around?
For me, it's really Tatum. It's his team. Yeah, Jaylen Brown, like you said, he's been pretty good. But any game where Tatum plays bad, they lose. So it's just Tatum stepping up and playing like we know how he can, because we all know Jason Tatum's a great player. So, yeah, if he just steps up, I think they'll be fine. Yeah.
I also think to contend, they need better end-of-the-bench guys. Like Grant Williams getting minutes to me just doesn't feel right still in the league. Aaron Nesmith isn't that good. I don't even know if that's his name.
But yeah, I kind of like the Celtics end-of-the-bench.
I don't like their end-of-the-bench at all. Like, I feel like Peyton Pritchard is pretty good. Who even is their backup center?
I mean, they have Cantor on the team.
No, he doesn't play. I think their backup center is Grant Williams, actually. And that's just not
he does run the center. But I think players like, you know, Pritchard, Josh Richardson too, Romeo Langford, people like that, they can step up and have 10 to 12 points a night. And then when you look at now Dennis Schroeder, he's coming off the bench. I think they're fine off the bench, really. And you look at Tatum and Brown, they're both young players that can – go for 34 or 36 minutes a night and be fine. So I think that they're fine off the bench.
All right. As we normally would talk about baseball, we're going to push that towards the end of the show as we wait for John. So we're going to move into some college football. And we found out Sunday night that Coach Gary Patterson would leave TCU after 20 years. He went 181-79 as the head coach. He nearly made the playoffs in the inaugural college football, the new national championship system. They beat Ole Miss 42-3 in that Peach Bowl, and then they had an incredible 31-0 comeback. Jerry Kill, who was the assistant to him, would now be the interim head coach with TCU 3-5 in the season, as they're going to try and transition into a new era, I guess you would say, with Gary Patterson being the winningest head coach in TCU history, probably in Big 12 history. You guys thoughts about that one?
I mean, I don't think it was the worst move ever. He's been there a long time. They have never really produced to their fullest extent, especially with, like, that Oregon comeback in the Alamo Bowl that one year. I mean, I think they could have been a national championship team if they would have played their cards better. I just think it was a little bit, I guess, selfish of him to leave in the middle of the season. I think he should have at least waited, but, I mean, I don't know. Isn't much we can do about that now. But, I mean, they haven't played well at all. They either have a really good game or a really horrible game. And even their really good games are still getting absolutely trounced by teams like Oklahoma. They haven't been as good as they have been in years past. And, I mean, it's probably a good thing for a change, but just not at the best time.
They haven't been ranked in the top 25 since 2017. So as we move on to what was a ranked team, they're still ranked actually, Wisconsin on Saturday, upset and destroyed really, number 9 Iowa, 27-7, Spencer Petras and Iowa disappointed again, lose their second straight after what many people thought they would win the Big Ten with Ohio State struggling. Iowa now 6-2, Wisconsin now kind of moving up the trend in the Big Ten, they're now 5-3. Now what happened with Iowa?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I really don't know what happened with Iowa, but Wisconsin, if they can get any type of offense, they're a great team because their defense each year is just one of the best. I think it's probably the best in the Big Ten. They just always have a shutdown defense, and they held Iowa to 0 points for a long time during that game. So I think that Wisconsin is a real good team in the Big Ten. But just Iowa disappointing over the last 3 weeks. So
yeah, as we move, you guys have anything else to say?
I'd say just the Big Ten's been really poor this season. That's all. Nothing really coming out of that conference.
I think the Big Ten's always kind of poor. I think the big both the big conferences, Big 12 and Big Ten, are pretty overrated.
Yeah, I can agree. The one remaining undefeated Big Ten team, however, in the game of the week, Michigan State came back from 30-14 down to beat Michigan 37-33. Heisman hopeful Kenneth Walker had 197 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns on the ground. You guys impressed with what Michigan State did? Are they a true contender in the playoff?
They're not a contender. When you see Alabama, Georgia, those teams, I think one of those teams win it. Michigan State, I think they get beat by 20 at least by those teams. But I mean, Walker did have an impressive game against Michigan. I just don't think any of those teams, either one of those Michigan teams, can contend with the big SEC schools.
Yeah, I would agree. As I continue to beat the drum on how bad Texas is, they blow their third straight double-digit lead, losing to Baylor 31-24. Baylor is now 7-1, moving up the rankings. Bijan Robinson only had 43 yards. Texas is just struggling offensively and defensively after the second half. Sarkisian is not the answer. We all know this. He needs to go. But why have they stopped giving the ball to Bijan Robinson?
I think it's just the fact that Casey Thompson tries to do too much in the second half. They get a lead early in the first, and Texas is just one of those teams, most of the Big 12 is, where they get a lead, they don't run the ball. They just keep doing what they're doing, try to get more points on the board, and just when you're up, conserve, run the ball with one of the best running backs in college football, and they just didn't do that. And Casey Thompson threw interception, put Baylor in good field position, and Baylor converts, you know. Just think Texas, that's the story of their season right there. Just turnovers leading to points.
Yeah, I think Texas has a favorable schedule for them to get into a bowl game. I don't think that's any doubt. And if they don't get into a bowl game, you think Sarkisian has to go.
Yeah,
I think they do
no matter what. I think if they're 5-7, these days where you have to have 6 wins to make a bowl, there's so many bowls that a 5-7 Texas team will make a bowl. Just because they're Texas.
Their final four games, Iowa State, Kansas, Texas, or West Virginia, and Kansas State. So it's not easy going for them.
What's their record right now?
4-4.
4-4.
I mean,
they beat Kansas, so that's 5-4.
If they lose to Kansas, sure. It's kind of embarrassing. I think even if they do win a bowl, or if they do make the bowl game, even if they win a bowl game, I still think he needs to go. There's no reason to keep him.
Yeah. 3 straight, as we said, a double-digit blown leads, 20-plus points to Oklahoma, again, I think 14 last week against Oklahoma State, and then again 11 this week as we move on to the Big, stay in the Big 12, actually. Iowa State was upset by West Virginia, 38-31. A week after upsetting Oklahoma State, Jared Dagey is 30-46, 370 yards and 3 touchdowns. I agree with what Braden said earlier, the Big 12, inconsistent, overrated. But when you look at him, Oklahoma, who blew out Tech this week, really is the only contender, and I still think they're going to make the playoffs if they end up being undefeated in the Big 12.
Probably.
Yeah, of course they're going to make it near undefeated, but the Big 12, it feels like when you see a matchup on the schedule, either of those teams could win, and you don't know, you saw that Kansas-OU game. We thought Kansas was going to, I thought Kansas was going to win after watching a half to three quarters of the game. Just any Big 12 team can win at this point. So when you look at the schedule, that Iowa State, West Virginia, I wouldn't even call it an upset because it's literally just flip of a coin, the Big 12, for those middle-of-the-pack teams.
Yeah. As again, we're talking about the last Big 12 game of the week. Oklahoma blew out Texas Tech. Caleb Williams went 23 of 30, 402 yards, 6 touchdowns. Spencer Rattler actually came in the game, threw a touchdown late on as well. But you guys all think Oklahoma gets going to blow out if they make the playoffs?
I mean, I don't know if they get blown out.
If you look at it currently, they're number 4.
If they're the 3, I think they'll be the 3. I think Alabama will be the 4, unless they beat Georgia. But if they're the 3 and they play Cincinnati at the 2, I don't know what would happen.
That's the best case scenario for Oklahoma. If they play any other team, they get absolutely destroyed. Yeah.
If they are where they are now. If they are where they are now, they are 4, they would play Georgia and they would get...
They would. And I think that... How you should rank it is Georgia, Alabama, Cincinnati, OU. But being those undefeated teams, they're going to put them ahead of Bama, even though Bama would beat both those teams by 20.
Yeah, I agree. As we move on to the SEC, and we're talking about Georgia, they blew out Florida 37-7, I think it was. They scored 3 touchdowns on 3 Florida turnovers in 12 plays. The defense, again, it's just been locked down all year. And I know I asked you this earlier. Are they now official? Do you guys think they're championship locks?
I think Bama. I still like Bama. Georgia, definitely I think they're going to make it to the championship. But I still like Bama.
I guess it just really depends on who they play. Because if they play Alabama, if they play that 1-4, then I don't know. Alabama might be able to beat them. But I guess we'll just have to see down the long run who gets what seed.
I mean, you have to look at it as in Ohio State and Oregon, they're still alive because Georgia and Alabama are going to play each other in the SEC championship, considering they win both their games. And if Georgia wins, Alabama two losses, they won't be in.
Yeah, they won't be in. But if you were asked the question, who's the best four teams, regardless of record, Alabama's one of them. So I don't understand how they wouldn't be in, because they play those teams, they're beating them. I just don't see. Like, I know they wouldn't be in with two losses, but I feel like they should.
We'll see come New Year. As we say in the SEC, Auburn upset Ole Miss 31-20 after Bo Nix went 22 of 30 with 276 yards and a touchdown, adds two on the ground. Ole Miss now 6-2. I think they've lost two of their last three, if I'm not mistaken. Really struggling. Matt Corral, I think he's injured out at the moment. It looks like it could be a downward spiral for Ole Miss now.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, Matt Corral goes down. They don't have much else. But Bo Nix for Auburn has just been very consistent. He's played games where he's thrown two or three interceptions and then games where he's thrown four touchdowns. It's just, I mean, if they have a good Bo Nix game, then Auburn's a top 10 team, in my opinion. But when he's struggling, they can lose to anybody.
Yeah, I would agree. You look at their two losses this year. They were to Penn State and Georgia, so you can't really blame them for that. The last four games, they have Texas A&M this week, Mississippi State next week, South Carolina, and Alabama to finish it. They're only one game behind Alabama, but Alabama's going to win that game. As we move on to the Big Ten, Ohio State escapes Penn State, winning at 33-24. C.J. Stroud, 22 of 34, 305 yards and a touchdown. Travion Henderson, however, had 152 yards and a touchdown. Ohio State has won their sixth straight and keeps themselves in playoff conversation. And I mean, I asked you guys this last week. Do you think a one-loss Ohio State Big Ten championships beating a more likely Iowa team gets in over an undefeated Oklahoma who struggled?
No. They are undefeated.
Yeah, no. Undefeated, Power 5, you're in. But do I think Ohio State would beat Oklahoma? Probably. Yes.
Okay, so do you think maybe they would get in a group of five in Cincinnati?
No.
No.
Cincinnati, they've been too many years where they've undefeated teams haven't made it. That were still like UCF a couple years ago, I feel like they should have been in. I think if you're undefeated,
and they were ranked what, 11th?
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I think undefeated teams should make it. UTSA right now is undefeated.
They won't.
I don't think they should make it in, but I'm saying a team like Cincinnati, who still plays opponents that are decent, and make undefeated, I think they should get in.
I mean, if you argue that, then you have to say that Michigan State should be in there as well.
I feel like Michigan State.
I think in 2 weeks we get Michigan State, Ohio State.
That'd be a good game.
Yeah, and then if Michigan State beats Ohio State, I think they're ahead of Cincinnati, and I think Cincinnati's rated too high. I don't think they're a two. I think they should be the four.
Ooh. Interesting. But I mean, if they lose a game, then Cincinnati's going to be out of the playoffs, maybe even out of the top 10.
I think they're out of the top 10.
Just because of how that ranking gets. And then, I mean, if Oklahoma were to lose a game, they'd probably stay in the top five.
I don't know about top five,
so?
But
I mean,
they'd definitely be in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, but close. Like, they wouldn't drop too far.
I'd probably say top eight.
They've got hella bias when it comes to Power 5 conferences, and it's extremely frustrating. Yeah. I hate the college football playoffs.
When you look at Cincinnati, their only tough game left on the schedule is SMU. Should they win out, they should get it. As we're talking about this, the initial college football playoff rankings drop tonight. I want you guys' predictions. Who do you think they're going to rank in the top four tonight?
Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Alabama.
In that order?
I like it, but I would also say that Michigan State needs to be in over Cincinnati. They're not going to do it because Cincinnati's at two right now.
No, but I think that's what they're going to do because Michigan State beat the number 16.
I agree, but Cincinnati, they're at the two. They're not going to drop. I mean, they might drop to the three and switch with Michigan State at the two, but I don't think that Cincinnati's going to drop at all.
What was Michigan State ranked?
They were eighth in the country this weekend.
So you think beating a six seed constitutes a two?
Well, when Cincinnati hasn't played,
I mean, yeah, right,
great opponents like Michigan State just beat Michigan.
But do you think they're going to put them at the two seed for that?
My opinion
if
should
anything,
be
they probably just switch them, considering how half of how college football rankings work, they'd probably just end up putting Michigan State at 6 and Michigan at 8, or Michigan a little bit lower.
For me, if I was on the committee, I'd say Georgia, Bama, Michigan State, Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's probably the most like reasonable one, but I mean,
and then OU at 5.
That's definitely not what they're going to do.
We've seen
they've got no brain cells.
We've seen the committee. The first one, I'm sure you guys remember, TCU went from 3 to 6 after many thought they were one of the best teams in the country. The committee just picks what should be, I think it's kind of more favoritism and big names to get them in the playoffs.
Yeah, do you think all 4 undefeateds could be in there tonight instead of Bama?
No. Just because Alabama's Alabama.
I agree, but I wouldn't say it's because they're Alabama. I'd say because they're better than everybody else besides Georgia. I don't think it's a name thing at that point. I think it's they're just better.
Caleb, you have any predictions?
No.
Yeah, I think it should be Georgia, Cincinnati, Bama, and Oklahoma in that order. As we move on to the NFL, which brings today as the NFL trade deadline. However, huge news we're waiting on, actually. It comes from Houston as the Dolphins and the Texans do have a deal in principle to trade Deshaun Watson, but the Dolphins are not going to do it unless Deshaun Watson is clear to play. And now, this morning, reports came out that the deal is unlikely to happen this year, which means it's more than likely Deshaun Watson is going to stay in Houston. I don't think he's going to play this season. He doesn't want to play. What do you guys think is going to happen between today and the 11th hour tonight?
Yeah, nothing's going to happen. No team wants Deshaun Watson at this point due to the fact that he won't play.
No, he wants to play for anyone that's not Houston. So if he goes to Miami, he would be the starter and he would play.
But would he play right away? Because
probably not right away. Maybe next week. If he's traded today.
I don't know if he plays
that. I think he plays right away. As long as unless Tua is still in Miami, I think he plays right away.
I don't know. I think
it's not a good trade.
I don't think it's a good trade for Miami, Tua being their future quarterback they drafted 5th overall 2 years ago. Like, I don't think that's a good trade for Miami to give up on Tua right away.
I don't know.
I don't think Tua is that bad. You know, the Miami's 1-6, I think.
1-7. Yes.
1-7?
They've lost 7 straight after winning week 1.
1-7 right now.
Texans.
I mean, that's bad, but I don't think it's get rid of Tua time. I think their defense is the problem.
Their offense isn't making it either. So, just pick your poison there.
Has been great, but I think Tua isn't the problem.
Yeah, as we move on. Still talking about trades, a trade that went down yesterday, the blockbuster one. Von Miller got traded from the Denver Broncos to Los Angeles Rams for a 2nd and 3rd round pick. Many speculate, though, that the Broncos could use those picks to trade for another quarterback. But does this one make the Rams definitely the favorites in the NFC?
No.
Who do you think is the favorites in the
NFC? Thank God Von Miller's out of Denver.
Yeah.
Wasted the rest, like, the past 6 or however many years it's been since Super Bowl 50. All those years have just gone to waste for his career.
Yeah, Von Miller's a stud.
Denver's done nothing for him, but now he's in a good LA team. He should be able to shine finally again. I don't know who would be the favorites, honestly. Maybe the Packers. Cardinals are still up there. I mean, the Rams, you can't count them out. The Bucks, the Cowboys. I don't think there's a clear favorite for NFC.
Any thoughts over there?
Yeah, I don't think there's a favorite either. And I think the trade, I think it's good for both teams. I think the Broncos, you know, definitely Von Miller is going to help any team he's on and come into the job and be the star. But I think getting a 2nd and 3rd for a player who right now isn't helping your team too much due to the fact that the Broncos aren't very good, I think it's a good trade for both teams.
I think the Broncos need to reset everything.
Yeah, I do agree.
Reset their organization back to nothing?
Yeah.
To where they just don't exist?
Yeah, don't agree with that one. As I move on to another trade involving an AFC West team that went on today, Melvin Ingram got traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 6th-round pick. I still don't think this one's going to help that defense. I think that defense is still horrendous, yeah. Even with Melvin Ingram.
They need younger.
They need linebacker help. That's what they need.
Stars. I don't know. Anything's better than what they have right now.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about them later on in the show. As we move on to the Thursday night football game with the Packers and the Cardinals undefeated season, they won 24-21. The Cardinals were on a 99-yard touchdown drive, and then Kyler Murray threw a pass to A.J. Green, who didn't know what he was doing, and it was picked by Rasul Douglas. Packers win their seventh straight. And Kyler Murray is now injured. He could be out for 1 to 3 weeks, which is a huge blow for Arizona.
Yeah, if he's out, that's I think it's three. However many games he's out, I think they lose them all. Because if you remember the Cardinals, I know they're a different team, but the Cardinals, I think it's
not Josh Rosen, I'll tell you that.
No, bring Carson Palmer back.
I thought it was
like him out of retirement.
Pick up Cam Newton.
It's not. The backup, is it Colt McCoy?
It is Colt McCoy. That sounds right.
Well, if it is Colt McCoy,
they can win a game.
I don't think they win any games.
Why not?
Because if you look at the Cardinals before Kyler Murray, I know they're a different team. They got a lot of different players. They were awful. They had no quarterback.
Okay, but
the you next look at, no, you look at them with
the Texans.
Who do they play?
The next three games are the 49ers, I'm going to be honest.
I think the Texans.
They already play the Texans.
I think, okay, would you say 49ers, Seahawks?
And then the Panthers.
They could win every single one of those games.
And then that fourth game, if they even want to rest him for that, is the Bears, and you get them back by the Rams.
They could go 4-0.
I think they lose to the – I think without Kyler, they lose to the 49ers.
But the 49ers, they're not good.
I think they lose to the 49ers. I could see them losing to Seattle.
No.
Without Kyler Murray.
Oh, God, no.
Geno Smith.
The only game that they could even lose would be the 49ers.
Geno Smith is not bad.
But the rest of the team is.
Geno's – no. The rest of the team is not bad.
No, they're horrible.
They have – I mean, they have – I wouldn't say they even have a bad defense.
Who's better, Geno Smith or Colt McCoy?
Geno Smith. Especially 3 weeks of experience, Geno Smith is better than.
How many years of experience?
Just bring him in, Colt McCoy. No, I'm saying for this year, I mean, Geno Smith has played 3 weeks now. He played it close against the Steelers.
A horrible Steelers team, by the way.
I wouldn't say it's horrible. Who did the Seahawks play this week?
The Jaguars.
Yeah, they beat the Jags.
Okay, yeah, they won, but the it was a big win. I mean, it was
it's the Jags. 31
win to against the Jags.
31-7 or something.
Against the Jags. John's about to enter the show.
I could think the Cardinals lose two games.
We're not talking baseball yet. All right. Middle football, John.
Good morning, John.
Are you talking about baseball?
No, not yet. We're saving
still
that.
Talking about football.
Okay. So as we move on, despite the score being 38-22, the Rams really destroyed the Texans. Moved to 7-1. Matt Stafford went 305 yards, 3 touchdowns. Cooper Kupp continues his record-breaking season with 115 more yards, another touchdown. Texans scored 3 garbage time touchdowns to make it look like it was closer than it was.
Typical.
I mean, they're waiting for Tyrod Taylor to get back. They said he will be the starter. But even with Tyrod Taylor, this team does not look good.
Yeah, I don't like the Texans here at all, but think that Davis Mills hasn't been awful. He came into the first game through I think like 2 for 8 interception. He was awful, but now he's kind of developed a little bit. I've seen signs that he could be decent.
No. He threw one right to the
Texans suck. Quarterback sucks. Organization sucks.
Houston as a whole.
End of discussion.
Except for the Astros.
I mean, yeah, I think the Houston.
Win a game when Tyrod gets back.
Nope.
I definitely think Houston sucks.
Unless they're playing the Jags.
They still have to play the Jags, which is.
Or if they
play. If Tyrod Taylor plays.
If they played the Cardinals with Cole McCoy, I think Texans win.
Yeah,
they played the Cardinals.
Oh, my God.
Look, here's the.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say.
The Texans' next 6 games include the Dolphins this week.
Win.
The Titans next week.
L.
We could win that.
An awful game against the Jets 3 weeks from now.
We can win that.
Jets are going to wipe them.
The Colts.
I'm going to wipe them.
Seattle and then Jacksonville.
They lose out.
They're 6-1.
You think they go 6-1 in the.
They're 6-1.
The Texans?
I'm just kidding. But I do think they can win.
Maybe 1-6.
Two or three of those.
Okay, but then.
I think we could win a couple of those.
You look at the 3 games after that.
They beat the Jets. They beat the Jags.
Look at the 3 games after that.
They could beat the
Chargers, the Niners, and the Titans.
Okay. If Tyrod back against the Titans.
They win one of those games.
I'm not saying they're
Titans.
I think they win two. I think they beat the. I think they beat the Dolphins and the Jags. Those are my teams. I think they can beat. I think they'll lose to the Jets.
I think we can steal one from the Titans or the Colts too.
You won't come close.
I think we can.
Okay. As we move on to the Texans' opponent this week, staying in the AFC, the Bills escaped the Dolphins, winning at 26-11 in an ugly, ugly game. The Bills are now 5-2. Josh Allen had 249 yards, 2 touchdowns, also 1 rushing. Buffalo bounces back after losing heartbreaker to Tennessee, and Miami has lost their 7th straight. What's going on with Miami?
Everything besides Tua. I think Tua is fine.
Interesting. As we're gonna stay in the AFC. Another ugly game. The Steelers beat the Browns 15-10. The Browns receivers really struggled to catch the ball. Jarvis Landry had a couple drops. Odell rarely played. The Steelers, however, did lose Chris Boswell after a fake field goal, which was a horrible decision. And now he's injured, and people don't know what's going on with that. What were your guys' thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it was a sloppy game. I don't think it was a bad call on the fake field goal.
But you get injured.
Because
instead of just kicking the field goal,
he was so close. There was 3 yards out, and neither offense was doing anything. So I think, hey, try to catch him sleeping, get 7 points on the fake. I think it was a good call.
Did he try to run it in, or did he throw it?
He threw it, and then he
rolled out to try to throw. Nothing was there. Just threw it in the back of the end zone and got just popped out of bounds.
It really was a hard hit. As we're going to move on to an AFC South matchup, one of the games of the week. The Titans come back from 14-0 down, win it in overtime as Tannehill threw for 265 yards and 3 touchdowns. Derrick Henry, though, injured his foot. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Biggest part of their offense, their best player. They signed Adrian Peterson in a corresponding move. Do you guys think that without Derrick Henry, the Colts can make up the ground on him?
Yes. Because I think Tannehill's play has been inconsistent, and Derrick Henry in the games they have won has looked like the best running back in the league. So without him, I don't think they'll be very good, because I think that their defense in big games hasn't been great, and just the fact that Tannehill's been inconsistent this year.
I completely agree with that.
All right, as we're going to quickly recap the rest of the game so that we don't run out of time. The Jets, in the upset of the week, beat the Bengals 34-31. Mike White threw for 405 yards. 3 touchdowns. Cincinnati really struggled. The Broncos and the Panthers ended their 4-game losing streaks, beating Washington and Atlanta. Another upset, the Patriots beat the Chargers 27-24. The defense really showed up, picked off Justin Herbert twice. AJ Phillips got both of them, returned one. 4-6, Chargers have dropped their 2nd straight. You could actually call this one the upset of the week. The Saints beat the Bucks 36-27 after Jameis Winston got injured. His season is done after an ACL tear. Trevor Siemian came in and led the Saints to the upset. Tom Brady threw a 6 to P.J. Williams at the end of the game. Sunday night, the contender for the one of the worst games of the week. The Cowboys somehow beat Minnesota 20-16 as Cooper Rush led the Cowboys on a game-winning touchdown drive, which ended in a pass to Amari Cooper. He threw 325 yards and 2 touchdowns. Cowboys on their 6th straight win. Dak is looking to be back this week against another big game. And on that last night, the Kansas City Chiefs escaped what would have been a humiliating upset, winning at 20-17. They're back to 4-4, but they didn't look great. Mahomes, 275 yards, touchdown, another interception. You guys have any thoughts about any of those games?
They all sucked.
Just the Cowboys-Vikings game. Because we got a Vikings fan in the room. Just want to hear what his thoughts are about the Vikings.
Mike Zimmer needs to go.
No, Kirk Cousins needs to go.
No. Mike Zimmer needs to go. They both need to go.
But Kirk Cousins before Mike Zimmer.
I think Mike Zimmer's just always been awful.
No, Mike Zimmer went conservative.
Like, I haven't seen a good Mike Zimmer season ever.
They haven't had a good quarterback since Teddy Bridgewater.
That's pushing it.
How is that pushing it?
I think Kirk Cousins is fine.
That was peak Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, he was right.
Play action Kirk. I think he's fine.
Nah, Zimmer.
What about Case Keenum though? That season.
Still sucked.
Well, the Cowboys, you know, as much as I like the Cooper Rush game, don't see him doing it again.
Yeah, but people do think that Dak Prescott's injury is worse than it seems. And Mike McCarthy said he's going to be a full go. People still think they should rest him and put him in due to the long season ahead of him.
Dak looked fine through warmups. If you couldn't, he was doing.
You don't want to risk tearing that calf.
I don't know. He was doing every drill fine, full speed. I think he should have played. You know, I'm glad they did now. Gave him an extra week of rest and get the win, but I think he should have played.
Look.
You rest him for the next 2 weeks and then you bring him back against the Chiefs. We should do. You have the Broncos and the Falcons, which should be 2 wins. And then you have the Chiefs.
I don't think it's 2 wins.
It's not 2 wins.
I don't think it's 2 wins if you're playing Cooper Rush. He got one good game.
Look at the teams they're playing. The Broncos and the Falcons suck.
I think the Broncos can beat him with Cooper Rush.
I think Matt Ryan can beat him.
And I think Matt Ryan always has a big game.
Yeah, they're underestimating how bad. But you look at the offenses of those two teams. They suck. And
I think you can never say Matt Ryan sucks. He's due for a game for 400 yards.
Cooper Rush could throw 400 interceptions, and they would still beat both of those teams.
And, yeah, Atlanta's defense sucks, too.
I don't know. I think they lose to the Broncos.
And without Von Miller, there's no chance. Denver's not going to get the same pass rush. Thinking about without Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, I'd say start Cooper Rush, give Dak another week to rest.
I think Dak's the whole team.
And you use the run game to your advantage. Two teams that struggle against the run.
Which they didn't do against the Vikings enough. They didn't run the ball enough. They relied on Cooper Rush to throw too many passes, which is why they got some early turnovers and some big fourth downs.
John, you got something to say?
Look, a friend of mine asked me if I thought Dak Prescott was going to start the game, and I told him no, they probably shouldn't start him because his career is over. And I stand by that. I've been standing by it for the past 2 years, all right? I think his career is over. I'm sorry. That's a really hot take. Wait for it to come true.
This is why John does not talk about football. Obviously, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I hate the Cowboys. But
game poop.
All right.
All right, as now I'm going to hand it over to you guys. We finally talk World Series. John, do you want to start it or should
I? I don't want to start it.
I'm just going to be completely straight with you. I have not watched more than 4 innings.
I've watched all the games.
It's been a pretty interesting series.
Besides the ones where the Cowboys were playing. So I did not watch Game 5.
All right, then. So let's
start. But I did see Martin Maldonado.
Oh, my God.
He has 2 hits in the series. I did call 2 hits in a game. You did. But he has 2 in the series. All
right, so let's recap. Game 1, the Braves won it 6-2.
Yay.
Jorge Soler with the first ever leadoff home run in World Series history. They did lose Charlie Morton, however, after a fractured fibula. He got replaced on the series.
Broken fibula.
He got replaced on the roster by Tucker Davidson. The Braves had a hit parade on Framber Valdez. 5-6 in the first 3 innings. John, you go ahead and take over now.
This is Game 1, right?
Yes.
It was a very hard-fought victory. I watched that game. I don't really remember where I was. I think I might have been home. I watched that game at home, probably. I was very hyped once. I sent Dylan the Jorge Soler homer, and I was like, oh, yeah, we've got this. Game one.
That is true. He did.
And I was like, oh, yeah, game one, guys. Braves lead the series. And seeing Charlie Morton play 4 innings, throw three strikeouts, or get 3 people out with a broken fibula, like that literally till his leg actually gave out. That is crazy, and that shows you how much this man wanted to play. It's a shame we lost him. Now we only have 2 actual starters that are available consistently. Very scary.
Isn't Max Fried getting the glove tonight?
Yes, Max Fried is getting the glove tonight in game
6.
Game 6. Hold up. Let me talk about game 2, 3, and 4, all right? Or whatever, okay? So we won game 1, right? Game 2.
It was a rough one.
Game 2, that was in Houston, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the...
It was 6-2, Astros.
6-2, Astros. I don't remember that game that much, but that game is something I'm glad I forgot. Game 3 in Atlanta, I saw that game, was very hyped. Let me try and remember. That was a bullpen day, our first bullpen game.
Yep.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal shutout. 1-0. And I think that one was a Travis d'Arnaud home run.
Yeah, it was 2-0.
2-0?
Yeah, Travis d'Arnaud hit the home run in the 8th.
Okay. And then who hit the first run?
I think it was a Rosario RBI.
Yes. So, you know, the fact that the bullpen was the night shift, the fact that the night shift was able to play so phenomenally against that Astros offense, which wasn't awake at the time, but still was able to play phenomenally, pitch
8 shutout innings, man. I'm pretty sure our first inning we got the bases loaded. And so that was scary. But aside from that, you know, great game. Really great game. Then yesterday, or Saturday.
Game 4.
Horrible. How do you... First inning grand slam, all right?
No, that's game 5. That was Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
And then game 4 with the Braves winning it 3-2 after trailing 2-0.
3-2 after trailing 2-0.
Swanson and Soler back-to-back
homers. Ah, yes, the back-to-back homers. Yes, I don't think I sent Dylan that one. But that game, I didn't think we were going to come back. Honestly, thought we lost it. Then the two-run homer by Swanson. Blackata! Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And then Jorge Soler is just like, you know what? Let me take the lead. Jorge Soler, homer to right field. Or actually, I think it might have been center. Jorge Soler, homer. Bang. Take the lead. Stadium is crazy. Everybody screaming. Ah. I'm so glad we won that game because then I would be crying today. Then the day after that in Atlanta, that was our second bullpen day. That, I hated that. I never want to see that ever again. The guy who started, do you remember who started yesterday, Dylan? I sent you a thing too about it.
Dylan Lee?
No.
Is that him?
No, it was.
And no, I have no idea.
Something Kyle? I don't know. But is this guy's, you know, he did great in the minors. He had a sub-3 ERA. I think he loads the bases and gives Houston their first run, and I was crying. I was so mad. All right, then we take the lead, right? Then we take the lead. First inning grand slam, all right? Oh, hype. We've got it. We've got the game. We're winning the World Series tonight. No, because John and the Braves, we can't really have what we want, all right? So then Martin Maldonado is just like, hey, I have a .082 batting average in the season. But you know what? I'm going to be Barry Bonds in the postseason, you know, in the World Series. I'm going to get hits. And I hate you, Braden, for this. I hate that you were right. Because he literally scores in like 3 RBIs, 3 or 4 RBIs. It is stupid. How do you give up the lead? You're up 6-2, 6-1. And then you just suck. How do you fall apart like that? I honestly think the actual starter, the guy they brought in after the opener, could have kept going. But instead, they had him play 2 innings. I honestly think he could have gone the full 3. But they didn't let him go full 3, which made me mad. I was like, come on, leave him in. He can do this. You have runners on 3rd and 1st with 2 outs. You're fine. All right? Then the bullpen throws the game away. Martin Maldonado gets hit. Oh my god. I just really hope we win tonight. Braves in 6 as the man Trevor Plouffe. I also sent that. Oh no, Dylan saw that on my story and said it was funny. Trevor Plouffe, a former Minnesota Twin, guessed this in March. Said Braves in 6 over Houston. I really hope he's right. All right.
He'd win like $25 million.
He'd win $25 million if he'd put the money in. But I really hope that's what happens. If the Braves don't win tonight, I don't want to say I'm conceding, because then we still have Ian Anderson. But I'm just saying, if we lose tonight, I'm gonna come to school in a Astros jersey and a Braves shirt, so that I don't look super stupid.
You said we the whole time.
Did I say we?
When you were talking about the Braves, but I thought you were an Astros fan.
Well, my favorite child. I have a favorite child out of the two. And it's the Braves.
And I also want to ask, how do you feel about Luke Jackson?
Oh, my God.
Because I feel like every Braves fan hates them.
No. We all hate...
He's
okay.
Had a couple good...
Yeah, he's had a couple good innings. But here's where my hate for somebody... It's Will Smith, all right? My hate is really for Will... And here's... I think he's tied with Kenley Jansen on saves, which is absolutely stupid. He's not good, all right? he just has choppy saves, man. Will Smith, anytime I see them, like, call Will Smith to close the game, I cry. I literally cry. I'm like, oh, my God, please do not mess this up. I literally quake in my boots when Will Smith goes up to pitch. I'm cool with Tyler Matzek. And y'all know I didn't want to say Matzek. I feel confident when Tyler Matzek is on to pitch on the mound. I cry when I see Will Smith. Luke Jackson, he makes me nervous, but doesn't make me cry. Like, sometimes he's good, and other times he's really bad. But I guess that's what happens when you have a slider, a weird sliding curve, and a four seam. All right, that's what happens when you have two pitches, really.
Okay, I'd like to interrupt for a second about Henry Ruggs. Did you guys hear about Henry Ruggs?
That's what I was about to bring to attention. He was in a huge car crash this morning. There's one fatality, and he is showing signs of impairment. He could be charged.
He did get charged with a DUI resulting in death.
He's going to be out of football for some time.
We'll see how that happens, how that impacts the Raiders. Surely he'll be released or traded. Won't be in football in a very long time. And the Raiders, they lost John Gruden earlier in the month. They're 5-2 right now, but not looking great for their star wide receiver. So, you guys still have more baseball
time? Dylan, what do you think it takes for the Astros to take this? What do you think the Astros need to do to win this?
Hit Max Fried.
I think so, too.
Hit the starters. If you hit the starters, the game's over.
I'm feeling the Astros in
you
7,
feeling the
by
Astros
the way.
Tonight? Oh, man.
I'm feeling both games.
I hope you're wrong.
I'm feeling the Braves.
I'm feeling the Braves, too.
I feel the Braves in 6. But
I've been feeling the Astros every game.
I know.
If the Astros win this game tonight, they win the series.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't think the Braves
What I think so, too.
If either have to do it tonight or it's never.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a good one tonight.
Brayden, what do you think the Braves need to do to take tonight?
Pitch.
I'm going to go with the bullpen because after it's Fried, right?
Yeah, it's Fried.
Yeah, so after Fried, I think he goes. Actually, I'm not going to say. I don't know.
No, yes, I do want
to. I don't know how long he goes, but when he comes out and he and the relievers have to face Altuve, Bregman, Correa, all the big hitters, how are they going to do against them? Yeah. And how can the Astros – with those big hitters, capitalize and score runs off of it. That's my thing. If the Braves relief pitchers can do good, I think it's a low scoring game, and then the Braves win off of a 4-2 game.
A 4-2, all right.
But if the Astros, if the meat of their order, I think they can win it like 8-4.
8-4.
It just depends.
I just want to interrupt you guys real quick because I saw this news thing that just said that if the Saints call him, Philip Rivers is willing to listen and could hop back in the NFL.
That would actually be big because Saints, Jameis Winston, he's going to be hurt for some time.
There are two quarterbacks on the roster now, Trevor Siemian and Ian Book, with Taysom Hill still injured.
Yeah, I think Philip Rivers could be pretty good for the Saints. I think it could be good for my fantasy team with Alvin Kamara because – Rivers likes to dump down pass, so.
That's true.
Dylan, for tonight's game, who do you think takes it?
Well, I mean, I want the Braves to take it.
I want the Braves to take it, too. But
if Max Fried can go 5 innings, I think the Braves win the game.
Who's pitching
for
Houston?
As long as Luis Jackson doesn't.
Is it Garcia?
Yeah, I thought it was Luis Garcia.
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't know. It's going to be close.
I
think it'll be a low-scoring game until.
Until
the relievers
game,
come
yeah.
in.
Until we
That's
have
what I'm
to
saying. I think it's all about
yeah,
the relievers.
It is Luis Garcia to start on 3 days rest.
Framber Valdez started yesterday or the other day when we lost, which is so stupid. Framber Valdez started that game, and he'd just come off a relief appearance the night before, and we hit a first-inning grand slam. Luis Garcia's on 3 days rest. I don't know if that'll affect him that much. I really don't know because he's – in the short time that he's, been up in the majors, he is produced in situations like this. So I don't know if this will affect him that much. Max Fried, I really hope he's dialed in. I really do hope he's dialed in and that the Houston bats wake up not early.
Or just don't wake up at all.
Or just don't wake up at all, preferably. I'm scared. If the Astros win tonight, guys, I'm gonna need y'all.
I agree with what Dylan said. I think if Houston wins tonight, they win the series. Yeah, they did their job. They won a game in Atlanta. They knew the series would shift back to Houston. It's in their hands now.
Yeah, I think the Astros have just been clutch the whole playoffs, especially with two outs. Mm-hmm. And just in clutch situations, they've always just delivered. So I think they do that tonight, and I think they win both games back-to-back and win in seven.
Be heartbreaking for Atlanta. Game six tonight, game seven tomorrow, if necessary.
Y'all want to give a random prediction for tonight?
No.
Maldonado hits a home run.
No, but I'm ready for Maldonado to just keep staying on fire.
So that's yours. No. Yours is Maldonado.
No predictions. Hot. No predictions from me.
Actually, Freeman three-run home run.
Freeman three-run home run? Thank you, Dylan. Thank you.
Freeman, here's my prediction.
All right.
Freeman, there's two men on.
Okay.
He hits a bomb, but it's robbed at the wall.
Ooh, right field, that right field fence.
With two outs?
With two outs.
Oh my God, man!
In the top of the ninth.
No, not the top of the ninth.
In the seventh.
I'll do the seventh. I'm not doing top. If it is the top of the ninth, I'm literally. Top of the ninth when I'm down. Not coming to school tomorrow if it's top of the ninth.
In the seventh inning, and then the Astros to win.
Top of the ninth when they're down 3-1.
No, if it's top of the ninth, I'm literally not coming to school tomorrow.
That happened to be the most unlucky thing.
I'm going Jorge Soler homer, left field over that fence. Over the
I don't think he gets another one.
I think he does. I really think he does. And I'm thinking Dansby Swanson comes in for a run from second base. Yeah. And that the Braves will win tonight very close.
What's your score prediction?
I don't know. By Maldonado hitting one off
I,
the
I don't want
hitting one off the column.
That's so dumb, man.
Hitting one off the column back there. I think
4-2 Braves.
4-2 Braves. I'm going 5-4 Braves.
Mine was 4-2 Braves if the relief, but if the relief is not on, I think it's 8-4 Astros.
I think it's going to be 3-2 Astros. Very tight game.
I think it's going
to
be.
We'll just have to wait and see.
I think the Astros are going to score 3 runs on 6 hits.
Y'all know if I'm not here tomorrow.
3 runs on 6
hits. We know how the game ended.
As we just four game picks, our weekly segment called Flip the Script. I'm going to hand you guys off to you guys. Another questions. Make it quick this time.
I'm going
to
leave the too. Flip the Script. I love you guys.
Say goodbye.
Mr. Anthony Silvani, what was your disappointment team of the week?
A lot of teams disappointed. I'm going to go with Minnesota. I think right after this question, I was going to say Minnesota. Purely because they played against Cooper Rush and they only scored 16 points, one touchdown.
Yeah.
It was Mike Zimmer is conservative. Looks like he doesn't know what he's doing this season. Disappointed all game. Dylan?
Game of the week.
A shout out to the Jets-Bengals game, but I'm going to give it to Colts-Titans. That game had everything you could have asked for. And I think Tennessee, they just stuck with it. People thought after 14 they were going to lose. But they didn't, and so I'm going to give the game of the week to the Colts and the Titans. Caleb?
Offensive player of the week.
This was a tough one. There were a lot of offensive players that really went off, but I'm going to give it to A.J. Brown. He had a very good performance, 155 yards and a touchdown, and he had over 100 yards, I think, in the first half, and what really sparked the comeback from the Tennessee Titans. And he has to be the number one receiver. Julio Jones is still great, but they're going to be covering him a lot. He has to come out with Derrick Henry now out. He has to produce like he's been over the past 2 weeks.
Mike White was snubbed of Offensive Player of the Week. That's my say.
Would you give it to A.J. Brown?
Yes.
Mike White no snubbed. Chance. But who is your Defensive Player of the Week?
For me, during my research, this one came down to two safeties in the AFC. But I'm going to give it to Adrian Phillips. I'm going to give a honorable mention to Justin Simmons, who had two interceptions. But Adrian Phillips had two interceptions. One was returned for a pick six off Justin Herbert, which really was the game-sealing, game-winning pick six. And he really impressed me this week. And what he did, what he showed, that he can be a top safety for the Patriots, who are now 4-4 and looking good. So I'm going to give it to him. Dylan?
What about your rookie of the week?
I'm going to give it to Michael Carter. I think Michael Carter had a huge game against Cincinnati and totaled over 100 yards rushing and receiving. I think he was a huge part of their upset win. So I'm going to give it to Michael Carter, the running back. Caleb?
Who was your most, I don't know how to say this, like, under the radar player? Do that one.
Ooh, that's actually interesting. Under the radar.
Better give it to him.
You want me to say Zach, Mike White, don't you?
Mike it was, White.
It's not under the radar.
He was so he wasn't really the under the radar because he was. No, I get no one expected
he's
it.
He's a Jets
but it's the thing that
backup quarterback, and he beat the Bengals.
But it's the one stat that stood out to everyone.
Cedric Wilson.
I'm going to give it to Cedric Wilson. He had a great game against Minnesota.
He did.
The receiving touchdown was great. That pass he threw, incredible. It's
better spiral than Dak.
They're better than Cooper Rush did. And Dylan, you have the final question.
What, team of the week?
I'm going to give it to Philadelphia. I think they played Detroit, but I think they had a good performance. They're looking all right. Don't have hope for the rest of the season, but I really like what they did this week. So I'm going to give it to them. They're 40-something, 3 victory. As we're going to quickly move on to some NFL game picks. We're going to start off with the Thursday night football game. Dylan, who you got? The Jets and the Colts.
The Colts.
Dylan.
Colts.
Caleb. Braden. Caleb. Colts. Over this. I got the Colts too. Browns and the Bengals, Dylan.
Bengals.
Bengals.
Caleb.
Browns.
I got the Bengals. Cowboys and the Broncos. I got the Cowboys.
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 Worst game of the week, Texans and the Dolphins.
Texans.
I'm not picking this game.
I got Miami. Vikings and the Ravens.
Vikings.
Ravens.
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 Big sleeper.
Patriots and Panthers.
Yeah, big sleeper. Yeah, it's going to be a snooze fest for that offense. Yeah. You're right.
Patriots.
Who are they playing? What is it, Patriots?
Patriots, Panthers.
Patriots.
Let's go Panthers.
Patriots.
Jesus Christ. Get Braden off the show.
Chargers and Eagles.
Give me the Chargers.
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 Eagles.
What? Okay. Cardinals and 49ers.
Cardinals.
I'm going to go 49ers. You said it without Kyler Murray. I'll go 49ers.
Packers and Chiefs game of the week.
Packers.
Big. Sunday Night Football. Titans, Rams.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
Okay.
What was the Sunday Night game?
Titans and Rams.
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 And then Monday Night Football. Bears. Steelers.
Bears.
Steelers.
Bears.
Steelers.
All right, and we'll see you guys next week
after the Texans upset.